If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are listening to The Mauer Report, a live radio show that ventures into the mysteries of life, as well as the hot topics of the day, either political or business.
I want to welcome everybody into this evening's show. Be prepared, it's going to be slightly different than the content of the last few weeks, but for those of you who have been around for the last few years, it's going to be slightly normal. Just be ready. My guest tonight is Dr. Rebecca Housel, longtime fan, friend, all of the above of the program. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on.
So we were just talking, you said conjunctions? No, you lost me. We've been talking for all of 45 seconds and you already lost me.
We were talking, for those listening, a few moments ago when I called in about the kind of sense that it's just being a very difficult week. And there is there's actually three conjunctions happening this week, yesterday. I was going to say rather Monday. This is where I'm at. So everybody, I'm a therapist. I work as a hypnotherapist and a life coach during the pandemic. So I just finished with my last client literally 15 minutes ago. So it has been a long year and a half, almost 2 years. People may be feeling that sense right now of like kind of difficulty. And November is supposed to be a very difficult month. And the psychological effect of knowing that there's conjunctions, that it could be a difficult month, that the new moon was in Scorpio, and that tends to bring things to the surface according to spiritualists and astrologers. Just knowing that makes people feel a little bit like, oh, stuff is difficult. But even if you don't know about astrology, you may be feeling that way because we actually have less light right now in this part of the world. Between October and March, there's actually an increase in sensations of depression, anxiety, an increase in anxiety, things along those lines. So hopefully that's helpful right out of the gate.
Well, I guess I'll double down on this nonsense of lack of daylight. This daylight savings time is a mess. Can we just end it already?
It is. I agree. It's just, I don't understand. I mean, I understand why it's here, but honestly, come on. Giving ourselves less light. Theoretically, we're supposed to have more time, more light in the morning. But essentially, I think it's run its course, similar to the Electoral College. Well, that's not a popular thing to say.
Well, we'll leave that one go for a little bit here. But
we'll let that go.
But, I mean, daylight savings time, it doesn't really matter because it's the same amount of daylight. It doesn't matter if you have it in the morning or the evening. It's the same daylight, but I don't like it getting dark at, like, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's just me. No, and imagine if we lived in a place like Finland, actually even Ireland, so anywhere in Northern Europe kind of has that same issue with, like, light, where in Finland, as we get more into the winter months, it can be dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So in Ireland, if you're there in the summertime, you can have daylight because of where they're located, because of their latitude. They have daylight from like 4:30 in the morning until like 10 o'clock at night. So like June is awesome. So you can be out in the sunshine like a long time.
So as usual around here, I like to double down on things. You ready for this one? Can we get rid of time zones and just have one time? Think about it. Okay, if your business is open for... If your business is open from... Okay, say you want to be open during daylight. It just happens to be 2 a.m. to 6 p.m. here instead of being whatever. It's the same time. Everybody will have the same clock. No, I'm just talking everywhere. Everywhere. Just the same clock everywhere.
Possible because of how the Earth rotates.
I think it is.
I don't...
Technology allows this.
perhaps, but they actually, I mean, there really is a, it is actually literally a five-hour jump ahead because of where they are located, and their day is different. Like, we wouldn't have the same daylight hours if we all had the same time.
The sun doesn't change based on the clock. The sun is still there.
No, it is, but they're on a, they're 3,000, like Europe, is, Ireland in particular, I'm thinking of, is over 3,000 miles away. So the Earth does rotate, and the sun is not in the same spot in the sky for everywhere in the world all at once.
You'll think about this for a couple of weeks, and you'll come back to me and say this is the best idea I've ever had, just so you know.
I don't know if I can agree with you there, but...
Just be forewarned.
I like the idea that, you know, what I do like about the idea is that people can communicate with each other, you know, and the idea that it's possible to sort of transcend time and time zones and still reach out to people in Europe or Asia or the Middle East or Africa or wherever people happen to live, Australia, New Zealand, wherever you are in the world. You know, Japan, China, people should be able to reach out to others. I love that idea of connectivity. So I'm with you there.
Yeah, if we were just all in the same time, we'd spend less time trying to figure out what time we'd be available and be like, yeah, I can meet you at 4.
Ah, I see where you're kind of, I see where you're sort of. Yeah, because a friend of mine in Ireland, actually, who I think you may have connected with, I know that for him, he wanted to be on your show, but he's 5 hours ahead in Ireland, and 5 hours ahead in Ireland means 2 a.m. right now.
Yep. I have some great people in Ireland and the UK and that neck of the woods, and they'd love to do it, but it's just way too early in the morning, or it's not late enough in the morning. Like, if it was like 5 a.m., they'd be like, yeah, I could, you know, like, or... It was midnight, but when at 2 a.m., nobody, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't do the live show, right?
But yeah.
Maybe you record. You don't really, that's your whole, the whole thing that makes your show so great for people that are listening in tonight that I've asked to listen in, who may be new to your show, is that Jim Mallard just does a fantastic live show. And that's part of the beauty of it. It's a live show.
And I'll prove it to you because Germantown Runner, who I'm sure you're familiar with and know pretty well, has a question for you. Pop culture seems to be in a rut. People are grouchy and have short fuses and generally unhappy. What areas of culture should be looking toward for more, he's got quotes, fun and hope?
Oh, well, you know, fun and hope are like my kind of like, that's my calling card right there. I love you, Dave. I miss you. I have not been on Twitter much because, you know, therapist during the pandemic. It's like, what can I do here?
Well, he'll tell me to tell you to find him on Gab. He's not on much on Twitter anyway since he got social media.
Really?
Whoops.
Oh.
I said that correctly. Okay, good.
Thank you. I have missed you. I will definitely check that out. The question was, where is pop culture headed?
Where should we be headed for some fun and hope?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the future for pop culture, what I can kind of see happening is there's now, thanks to things like the vaccine being disseminated to like a good number of people, not in every state, but it does seem to be affording people to be able to return to, like, say, comic conventions, comic cons, concerts. Things are opening up a little bit again. And so, you know, in terms of pop culture, that the Comic Con kind of craze that I was a part of there for a while, that really was part of something called Nostalgia Stars. And so I don't think that Nostalgia Stars are going anywhere. I think we're still loving our Nostalgia Stars. So that's always a good place to go. If you're looking for fun and hope, go back to, you know, the basics. Go back to your Supernatural, you know, Netflix is great. I don't know if they have Supernatural numbers out loud. But they have the originals, and they have Vampire Diaries and, you know, True Blood is on HBO Max, which also has lots of new releases if you are like me and don't feel comfortable going to an indoor movie theater and you live in a cold climate and drive-in movies are shutting down in the next few weeks. So, yeah, HBO Max is great, you know, for like True Blood and things like that. So I think that going back to the basics is always good for fun and hope, just to kind of head back. And in terms of where pop culture might be going in the future, you know, there's going to be like kind of a resurgence in comedies, rom-coms, things along those lines. You'll see more of like that kind of Deadpool breaking of the fourth wall. You know, there's a lot more of a relaxed attitude. The loungewear trend for Zoom meetings is kind of going to be leaking into you'll see it in like Netflix shows. You're going to start seeing that more and more, baggier clothes, and it's all, everything's going to be more relaxed in general. So you'll see it even in your, even in things like superhero films, which will continue to come out and have been this whole time. The New Mutants, Black Widow, there's been a number of them. I just saw the Addams Family 2, the animated one. Is anybody out there a fan of that? I really love that. Jim, did you guys see that with the
kids?
Nope,
I haven't seen that.
Oh, they will love that. The animation is so, so good. So good.
Where's that at?
That was in theaters. It's probably still in theaters. It was out in October. It came out like in early October for like a Halloween release, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very, very good stuff. The first one is available, I'm sure, to stream. Probably I would check Amazon Prime for that. I don't know if that's on Disney Plus. Obviously, things have changed so much where I'm talking about all these streaming services, right? everybody was sort of really relying on that. And cable, even though people still have cable, it's really getting to be a thing of the past, isn't it?
It is.
So get your cable.
get yourself a Fire Stick or a Roku or whatever.
I was going to say Chromecast, baby. $25 at Target, plug it in the back of your TV. You pay a lot for your smartphone, let it do some jobs for you, get the Google Home app, and then you can stream anything you freaking want.
So, since we're in the neighborhood, I did have this scribbled on the side of my notes, so we're going to go there.
Okay.
Ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Next Ghostbusters movie comes out, the Ghostbusters Afterlife, in 2 weeks or the 18th or whatever that is, I think.
I am looking forward to that. I am excited. I love all adaptation because even if I know a lot of people, especially with the Ghostbusters, and you know, and people that knew me, I don't want to say way back when, but honestly, it kind of was like 10 years ago that I started that tour. So I worked with a lot of people that were in that original Ghostbusters franchise, you know, including Winston, the character of Winston, who most famously is the only one of all the Pops in the Pop series, the collectors out there, who like appears in the actual Ghostbusters car. He didn't have his own Pop, and that was a little bit of a thing, but he was in the Ghostbusters car, and that was his, so that was pretty cool. Everybody's very protective of that franchise because the originals, Bill Murray, was just all so, so very good. And at the time, brand new. And it's similar to like, you know, in a, like a love relationship when people get attached to a particular individual because that person has given them something they've never had before. Use your imagination, folks. and then, you know, that person inevitably, there's ending. You know, hopefully there's not. But, you know, I did just, you know, feel like proposing earlier tonight. But, you know, sometimes there's ending, sometimes there's not. But when that person goes away, you tend to feel like, oh gosh, you know, I'm never going to have that again. And I think we do kind of project that sense from a psychology perspective, if it's okay for me to kind of go there. We tend to project that sense of like attachment. And actually, that kind of goes back to our childhood. So some people are more adaptable than others. And that has a lot to do with the kind of attachment you form between the ages of 0 and 3. Mind blown, mine too.
Yeah. So we'll segue through this because this is a fun one for you. Some listeners to this program get a Tuesday reminder from me of Bill Murray. Not necessarily from Ghostbusters. Maybe from Groundhog Day or Caddyshack or an awards show.
Oh,
or
good one.
Just Bill Murray. Random Bill Murray gif in their inbox. Because it's...
Zombieland, too.
It's Groundhog Day. Like, you know? No. So, one more from Germantown Runner here, because before we dive into the, well, the thick of it. When's the first Christmas tree going up?
Oh, Dave. Oh, my Christmas tree's already up, babe. I've already got it up, and the Christmas lights went up this weekend, and I've got all the inflatables out there, including one for Hanukkah. It's all out there. Big Christmas balls, and no, I'm not joking.
There's no reason to joke about this, folks. This is legitimate information, I'm sure.
It's really true. A giant freaking menorah. Giant. And then, of course, the abominable snowman from Rudolph, along with a Rudolph as well, an animatronic Rudolph. I mean, you got to have it. I said, go back to the classics. I'm not just blowing smoke, folks. I'm living it.
Okay. So
yes, it's all up there, and I've got the tree. It's in full regale and everything. So yeah, I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. Let's go. Bring it on.
Oh my. This will be the fun radio transition here where I grind gears for a few seconds before I get into. Well, I think I might already kind of sense some overall themes that you want to go with here when I ask you this question about, because it has been a rough, well, goodness, we're going on 2 years now. I don't even want to say 18 months because that's just going to sneak up on 2 years for us. Uh-huh. And we're starting to come back to whatever normal will look like. It won't look the same for sure, but it'll be somewhat. It'll be within the lines. It'll look more familiar in 6 months than it does today for some people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned the winter seasonal depression being upon us, and then this other stuff being upon us. Plus, you know, like it's just kind of, it's been dark, for lack of a better word, to keep it simple, for the last while. Mm-hmm. How do we start to shine the light? There we go. Keep the promo or keep the.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big sigh right there. Look, the one thing I can say to everybody listening is to please, 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 not just because I am one, but please reach out to a therapist, a good one. Not everybody is the right fit, and that's okay. You don't have to have the perfect match every time, you know, and just even it can be like a life coach. It can be anybody that you feel comfortable talking to. Just please go and have regular sessions. I'm a big fan of at least twice a month. People going forward and talking to someone at least twice a month. You know, find that person, because this has been major. What's happened is truly unprecedented, and and even though, you know, at the beginning there was that sense of we're all in together, even if apart, that kind of fell by the wayside, I noticed pretty quickly. But ultimately, we really are having sort of an unprecedented moment in mental health. Prior to the pandemic, it was considered a mental health pandemic already globally. The numbers for violence against women, gender-based violence, domestic violence, were up high, so high that the UN came out in fall of 2018 with an entire report on how women were being killed by intimate partners as well as male family members, pushed out of families, And those were the lucky ones who got pushed out of families. The ones who weren't lucky were actually being murdered. And we're not talking about one or two women a month. The numbers were in the hundreds of thousands. And that's just unacceptable behavior. And that was happening before the pandemic. Sex trafficking was at some of the highest it had ever been. So we were already in a crisis. And this has certainly not helped, I'll put it that way. For some people, they've definitely been able to take a minute, you know, over the last, you know, I don't know, we're quite at 20 months yet, but we're getting there. I know that I think it was March 13th in the States, where everybody that was abroad had to be back by March 13th, and that was sort of the official day of lockdown in 2020. So we've, you know, we're coming up on that 2-year mark in March of 2022, and that's a long-ass time. We are all tired, really tired. Patience is running super low. Super, super low, even if you're trained to be more patient with people. You know, you may not be able to be a patient either anymore. So it's okay. I think the biggest message today, besides seek out a therapist or a life coach or someone that you can talk to at least twice a month, go to a Reiki practitioner, whoever will talk to you for 30 to 40 minutes in a session, just go and let loose twice a month. My other piece of advice is to just be kind to yourself, have compassion for yourself, because then you'll have more compassion for others. We tend to be hard on ourselves, and we're losing patience with ourselves. When we find that we are losing patience with others, it's because we are frustrated ourselves. We feel stuck, and we have been stuck in more ways than one. So I'm hopeful that people can kind of forgive themselves and just remember that at this time of year, before the pandemic, it was common to feel a lot of anxiety, increased depression because of, frankly, family events coming up. The fun, dysfunctional families, you know, just felt it no time more. And then Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yay.
Well, they put the fun in fundamental. Oh, wait. That's not what I was looking for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, fun and dysfunction. There we go. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, yes, there's
the
fun
and dysfunction. Okay. You guys, so you got it. You pulled it out.
It's somewhere in there.
I'm with you completely. So hopefully this is helpful information, Jim. I don't know how people feel about therapists. I know that some people, including me, by the way, prior to doing this, you know, many, many, many years ago, like in my 20s, I was one of these people that felt, I don't need a therapist. I'm fine. I'm strong. I'm this. I'm gross. Yuck. Shut up, past self. That's just not true. It wasn't true at all. And all I did was just leak all that garbage all over everybody connected to me, you know, so it doesn't really help. We have to be able to have that. If you use your brain every day, we think about going to a dentist. You go to a dentist at least twice a year. You chew your food every day, but then you brush your teeth, hopefully, twice a day. You can use whitening stuff, you know, all kinds of things to kind of keep your teeth in shape in between appointments. The one thing that's different between any other part of our body and our brain is that we are using that brain even when we sleep. The subconscious, for example, is working 24/7, feeding us information constantly. If you think that you don't need to maintain that more often than any other part of the body, I really don't understand why. I also would like to know why we don't have mental health testing for our politicians. Can I say that?
You just did. I don't know if you can.
I would like there to be transparency. I feel like there's a lot of personality disorders, and something like, say, narcissistic personality disorder is considered part of the dark triad. The dark triad is the social destroyers. So it's narcissistic personality disorder, It's psychopathy. It's Machiavellianism. Those people who are socially ruthless, and those three, kind of that triad, they tend to share traits with each other. They are social destroyers, and there's a lot of entitlement involved in all of that. And anyway, it's a little scary. I feel like we have a lot of that going on, a lot of socially ruthless stuff happening. And it's not a political statement, because it's kind of a politician thing, isn't it?
Well, I think there's a lot of it going on in the business world and everywhere. But, okay, so we're going to dive, we're going to pull back, and then we're going to pull back again, because I've got, well, Brian Bode has got a great question, and I have a good one for you here, too. Is therapy a never-ending cycle, or is it an eventual end? That's Brian Bowden's question. Then I've got a good one.
Hey, Ryan, thank you for that question. I appreciate it. So it's a great question, because a lot of times you'll have a targeted thing. Let's say you suddenly, because of the pandemic, realize that you're having a lot of anxiety leaving your home, for example, which is happening to a lot of people as vaccinations are increasing. People can now meet you out, but a lot of us are feeling like, I don't really want to do that anymore. And that's a little bit of a phobia now that we've developed, because of course it was dangerous to breathe. And in fact, it still is, because vaccines don't provide sterile immunity. We know this. It just reduces viral load, which is fantastic, because that means it's less likely to transmit to others. But we can still get sick with the vaccine. So there's still like things like the Delta variant, the new variant. So I'm not meaning to cause anybody increased anxiety, but these are legitimate things where we might have thought of someone who, you know, kind of was always afraid of getting sick as having a kind of a phobia. Now we've developed this new sort of very realistic, based in reality, sort of sense of, I don't want to leave the house. I'm like afraid, you know. So, but you want to get back to, quote unquote, as you were saying before, Jim, that sense of normal, even though it won't be quite the same as before. So, Brian, let's say you have something like that that you want to have treated. It's not like you can say to your therapist, I'm going to come in for one session and I want to be cured in one session. That will never happen. Talk therapy is meant to help integrate experiences as they come. And that helps to reduce the trauma, which we know now affects things like your limbic system and stress, for example. This came out in 2006, so this is actually really old information, but it does take a while for this information to filter through the medical community, and so now it's really being embraced. Things like autoimmune diseases, for example, can be connected to high levels of stress, high levels of cortisol in your system. Cancer diagnoses can even be connected to that. That's what that article in Nature in 2006 showed, that cortisol carried three compounds, two of which helped cancer cells that were normally mutating cells that would normally just be absorbed in the body to actually, it was like giving them little passports and a backpack full of food. Here, have something to eat for your trip and go all anywhere in the body you want. You know, when you find a good place, just go ahead and unpack the tent I'm providing for you. And, you know, so that's that fight or flight stress. I'm sort of making it into a little bit of a joke, but it's really not a joke. It's actually quite serious. So we know that stress can be a real problem, can be connected to a number of different physical, like serious illnesses. So, you know, you really do need to kind of see somebody on a regular basis. And ultimately, if you want to deal with a targeted issue, Brian, what you would do is you would talk to your therapist, talk to your GP first, get a referral to somebody that you trust, meet with that person. Hopefully they're a good fit. If they're not a good fit, you don't have to go to them anymore. It's like a billion therapists out there. So find somebody else, especially now with telehealth. You don't have to work with anybody even in your own town. You can work with somebody through Zoom sessions. I, for example, work with people all over the country, and as well as UK and Ireland. And Canada. So, you know, you can work with anybody now, anywhere, and feel if it, that person makes you feel safe, you can work with them and work out, tell them what your goals are, and they should be able to give you a sense of kind of timing or what they think would kind of work best. Like as a hypnotist, for example, I work with people that have, like, say, let's say grinding teeth at night, having a problem with that, and it's like affecting their health in some way. And so I know that if we have like an initial session, about four sessions after that, and then one a month for like say 6 months total, along with some other audio files in between, I know that that person will be really pretty much all set. And if they can only do, if they can only do that for 3 months, I know that thing that we really need are like those first four or five sessions, and then if we can just maintain it about once a month, they will be able to be okay. I know that. Anybody that's practiced at this should be able to tell you if you have a targeted issue about how many sessions they think it will take for you to feel better. And then of course you yourself can say at any point, I think I'm feeling a lot better. But I do recommend that even if you feel better, you should still see a therapist at least once a month. Given that it's a pandemic, I really think twice a month is a good idea, because you use that brain. That brain is going literally 24/7. You're not even aware of the information that the subconscious is feeding you. So anyway, I'm on a little bit of a soapbox, and I apologize.
Nope, you're fine. That's the soapbox we want you to be.
That was helpful, Brian. Sometimes people, though, Brian, it's like it can go on. Like I have clients who we meet every week, and we have for years, and that's necessary. Like if people have, like say, generalized anxiety disorder, or a personality disorder, or you know some kind of major depression, for example, or bipolar, one or two. Whatever you have that's like acutely there for you, you definitely want to try to see someone at least once a week, because stuff happens every day, right?
Ugh. Well, hopefully.
It's awful. I mean, mental health is just, life takes a toll on us. That's what I mean by it's awful. You know, it's awful how life takes a toll on us. Like every second of the day, I sometimes wake up, you know, feeling anxiety after sleeping for like 5 hours. I'm like, I'm literally sleeping. Okay, how could I wake up feeling like that? But that's part of how our brain, our subconscious, our memory, how all of that works. And knowing that you're going to see a therapist in every 5 to 7 days or every, you know, 14 days is really helpful to allowing you to feel calm when you wake up, like I did the other day, feeling tremendous anxiety for no reason. Like, oh, okay, well, it's all right. I'll just write this down in my bullet journal. Anyway, okay, hopefully that's helpful.
So I want to jump back into a point that you kind of made, but I want to dig into it more because it fits.
Yeah, I like it.
You ready for this? And you know this about me, that I'm my own worst critic. I'm the hardest on my, you know, like, that's anybody who knows me knows that you're not going to say anything to me that I already haven't said to myself.
That's a Virgo trait, by the way.
Yeah. So, but as you know, that can be, I don't want to say overwhelming, but I'll just put that word on that for this moment because I can't, you know, without having a beat around the bush for 5 minutes, I'll just say it that way.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I like
you were saying that, you know, we've got to cut ourselves a break. Well, okay. Well, here's the conflict of positions right there.
How do we do that?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Yeah,
how do we cut ourselves a break? I like this question, Jim. This is what I love about working with you. Honestly, I can trust you and I feel safe in this space. That's also very, very important. But, you know, you really do have like these fantastic questions, and you're honest. You know, these are great parts of you. So, you know, actually, as you know, we've been friends for a long time, so I think you're great anyway. I think your whole family is wonderful, and I love you all. Anyway, there we go. I'm full of love.
Well, thank you. The check's in the mail, but now to the question.
Now answer the question, Rebecca. Okay. So how do we get to that space of, you know, have increasing compassion for ourselves and then we can turn it outwards towards others? This is a great question. And the answer is mindfulness, increasing mindfulness. So this isn't some, and I, believe me, I was one of those people. I am not exaggerating when I say this. You know, I would even use the term granola nut crunchy. Like, I would use that term in a real way. And I'm embarrassed today that I did, because of course that was just me putting out bluster, you know, oh, that can't work. Of course it can work, and it does work. So mindfulness is, again, something that we're finding, like a University of California study at San Diego from 2017 showed that using the sound of singing bowls, which is something that I do in my practice with meditation, actually helped to measurably reduce depression, anxiety, blood pressure, hypertension. No, I'm not kidding. there's just really, really positive results. You know, just made people feel calmer overall. And as you felt calmer, all those biological systems also calmed way, way down. And meditation allows us to get to a calm space. In fact, I do a meditation with people that asks you to go to a safe space in your mind. And it can be real or imagined. And it's just a place where you feel safe and secure. For some people, they've told me, you know, they don't have to tell me this, but some people have shared that it's like on the couch with their dog in a living room, you know, or others, it's like their grandmother's kitchen. Yet others have said it was like a sunflower field. You know, I even had a client tell me that they felt safest on a scaffold 50 stories up because they worked like that. That wouldn't be my choice.
Yeah. I was going to say, how do you give somebody anxiety in 3, 2, 1?
Jump. With or without a bungee cord, you know, or parachute. Hey, whatever. I have jumped out of planes. I'm just going to put that out there. So, you know, I'm all for that. I love that risk-taking behavior, and that does say something about my psychology, and you can all sit with that for a minute or two. Anyway. Totally a human being here. I cannot hide that fact. I am a mess, just like everybody else. But I'm like aware of it, and that's part of that mindfulness. And so when you go to the safe space, which we can go back to the meditation model, when you go to that safe space, you can, I tell clients that a window magically appears for them on their left, always on the left, so that it's predictable. And that window is wide open, and they can see the world through that window. They never have to leave this space, but they can look at anything they want. They can go to Australia. They can go to Paris. They can go anywhere they want within that safe space. And I use repetition of words and things like affirmations within the meditation, things like simple things like you're doing very, very well. And just repeating those things, you just know everything is going to be okay, things along those lines. And just kind of helping people to really be able to say to themselves, in any given moment, it's like a tool. It's like saying, here's a tool for you to use. When you're sitting in your car and you're, you know, driving to a restaurant and it's been a pandemic for like 20 months and you're like, I go into that restaurant and there's like a crowd too. It's been kind of jarring. You like go somewhere and you're like, oh, there won't be anybody there. There's like, it's packed. I remember the first time I got on a plane and back in May, I went to go to my favorite city of all time, New Orleans. And I'm like getting on this plane and I'm like, there won't be anybody on the plane. It's going to be fine. Meanwhile, it is packed. The guy next to me is coughing and sneezing the whole time. I'm laughing because I was literally having a total panic attack on that plane. Like, oh my God, I'm going to get COVID. Oh my God, I should have done this. I didn't have to do this. Why am I doing this? Oh my God. But then I got to the Big Easy and I was just fine. But man, it is rough out there. So like, you know, you might be faced with these situations, and in those situations, you can do what I just said. You can kind of go to that safe space in your mind. You don't have to leave that space, but you can if you want to. And you can just keep telling yourself that you're safe and secure, that you're doing really, really well. Take a few nice, deep cleansing breaths. I always recommend people breathe in through their nose. Hold it in their chest for a moment. Yes, just like you're smoking a joint. And then release. And no, I've never actually smoked pot, and I know that that's like a weird thing these days, but yeah, it's never happened. I just never had the opportunity. Anyway, learning so much about me today, more than I'd like to share, but yeah, that's right, everybody. I am totally boring. I watch a lot of TV and movies. Oh, wow.
So
I sit in my house all day. Okay.
So I've got a follow-up story for you, which isn't related, but you'll appreciate this, because as we kind of reference, as you go back to normal, but you know that things aren't going to be the same, I had a realization about this about last March. Because, you know, you started wearing a mask, right? So what do you... Okay, so opinion about this aside, I was self-checking out, right? And the first thing I do is go to lick my mouth, you know, so I can open those bags. And I'm wearing a mask.
I went, wow.
You know, like it was subconscious. I just went to do it. And I went, oh, that was probably never the best thing to be doing. But, you know, I had that moment of like, but, you know, I just, that habit of just doing it because, and then I realized in that moment that I've been, well, sliming myself pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's what this pandemic has also been like a silver lining, I suppose. And I love that you brought that forward. So when you're beating yourself up, please remind yourself that you actually see the good things in like bad situations. You're fantastic, fantastic, like pro level at seeing the positives, the silver linings in any situation. I mean, like the shittiest situation ever. Apologies if I wasn't supposed to say that. I just had that thought just now. But really, truly, you're remarkable at it, Jim. And yeah, I think that you're right. There has been a big recognition in that sense that, you know, touching our face as much as we did, you know. I mean, everybody does it. In fact, I often get groceries delivered now because I'm trying to minimize my exposure because of family members, you know, things like that. So I will pick up a paper bag that someone's delivered and bring it in the house. And I have to remember to wash my hands and not touch my face like you were talking about, because even before the pandemic, that's probably how 50% of the illnesses I got was because I gave them to myself. I just simply didn't think before, you know, wiping my nose or, you know, I don't know, sometimes I'll drool. No, I'm just joking. But really, like, you know, you just touch your mouth, you know, you just, your hands are, I tend to like put my hand under my chin a lot when I'm listening to people. So I often would, even though I'm a woman and I wear makeup, and most of the time women don't touch their face because, well, at least the ones that wear like the serious makeup, I just can't get into that whole thing. I just can't do it. I just don't have the patience for it. So I am me and that's it. But I touch my face, you know, and that's, you know, anyway. Yeah. We definitely learned that we had some bad habits, and even wearing masks is something that Asia has been doing for a long time. And if anybody is kind of a world traveler out there or has, you know, even gone within the States and has seen like, you know, any of those sort of like tourists from China or Japan in places like San Diego, San Francisco, you would notice a lot of the tourists prior to the pandemic that came from that continent were already wearing masks because that's commonplace there. And they have a lot of pollution in China as well. And so there's a lot of respiratory disease there. And so wearing masks is actually helpful. And so, if you touch your face while wearing a mask, you generally won't get sick.
You definitely notice it, at least if you go to lick your fingers.
Yeah.
So just handed to me. Well, not literally, but it came in the chat room. So I guess I can't fake getting a note card at this point, but we're going to do that for the audio people. Germantown Runner via the Washington Beacon, celebrity physician Dr. Oz is preparing to jump into the Pennsylvania State or the Pennsylvania Senate race on the Republican side. Any thoughts about Dr. Oz jumping into the political arena?
I mean, you know, politicians tend to make a lot of money, don't they? And Dr. Oz already has a lot of money. And that's the other part with politicians, with U.S. politics today anyway, is that most of the politicians that get into the game are have to be kind of well off or have money to do it. And I think that that already weights things in sort of the wrong direction. So, you know, good for Dr. Oz, I guess. You know, I don't know. What do you
feel about it,
Dave?
I was going to say, we need Germantown Runner's opinion on this. I'm surprised, but I was asked some questions in the chat room while you were finishing up your answer there, because I was totally blindsided by this one. And apparently he graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in the 80s, so he's got some history in Pennsylvania. So.
Oh, he's from the state. So, who knows? Good for Dr. Oz. I hope that he's going to be a better politician than the ones that we tend to get in our
Pennsylvania is going to be an interesting battle for Senate next year, just for the
I see we're jumping into a whole new arena.
I'm just throwing it out there for the record for the people that don't know. It's going to be a mess here, but I'm sure.
Yeah, and next year, and then in the next, in the next election as well in 2024, we got a lot going on.
We're going to steer clear of all most of the politics, because.
But why?
Because it just gets me in trouble. That's why.
And I haven't said a single inappropriate thing.
I know, but no, you haven't. You've been fine.
Much to the chagrin of the listeners, I'm sure.
So, we've kind of touched on the pop culture and touched on the, what else am I missing about you that we haven't talked about yet that you want to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, about me. I don't really know. I think we've probably gotten it all. I did at Harvard Medical School, if people care about that.
Well, I'm sure somebody does out there. Congratulations about that. I've said that to you privately, but
thank you. That's very kind. I do appreciate it. I'm name dropping. I'm like, oh, in case anybody wants to know.
Hey,
I don't know if they're interested.
I've got news for you. That's good news to drop.
I haven't mentioned Jason Momoa, except I just did. But I know we'll talk about this. Like every time, I'm like, "And Jason Momoa and I are friends."
Well, it's worth dropping. I mean,
I don't know. It's I definitely used to be a big, big name dropper. Now it seems like an alien when I think about that life, like some kind of alien life form. So that was like running around with celebrities. Oh, please. Now I sit with like my old dog in front of a screen every day. So yeah.
Speaking of screen, website for everybody out there who may not be aware. Before I forget, promote the website and.
RebeccaHousel.com. Thank you, Jim, for reminding me. And I also write a column for Psychology Today, but I haven't written anything new in a bit. I'm going to be coming back to that in 2022 as things calm down. I'm going to be able to resume some normalcy myself, and that's one of the normal things. So that's going to be happening. And then I also have some books coming out. I can't say more than that at the moment, but I am working with someone in Ireland/UK who, you know, is also like you, is a radio person and is very, very big with anti-bullying campaigns. And so there's going to be a project there. And there's a few other things I just can't say, but I will be starting a mental health podcast with a station in Atlanta, I think, that may be happening in 2022 if I can find the time. it's a big if, but yeah, it's going to be called Let's Talk About It. And anybody out there who wants to call in can certainly do that or send me questions. And I will be happy to answer them. So I loved, by the way, I wanted to thank your people listening tonight, the audience this evening, for asking some really great questions about mental health and therapy. And if I can answer anyone's questions, you are welcome to contact me, Rebecca at RebeccaHausel.com. I'm happy to talk to you about it. Very excited, actually. Thank you, Jim, for letting me do this tonight.
Oh, thank you for being back around. I mean, we kind of hinted at this early in the show that you've been around and have been around me for, God, more years than either of us care to think about. And
yes, but it's so good, really. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years. I think in 2022, it's 10 years that we've known each other. And you're right. It's very good, right? Like, it's like family at this point. We really, we're just there.
Yeah, and the fun part is, now people who know me will appreciate this. Like, it's not, why haven't you messaged me? It's none of that. It's always, it's good to hear from you. Let's, you know, catch up real quick. It doesn't, you know, like if it's been 4 months or 8 months, it's not this, oh, you need to be better about, everybody's busy. And, oh, you know, there's people out there who just get caught up in those little things. Like, just because I message you doesn't mean I want something. It's just, I'm finally getting to, oh, hey, yeah, I haven't heard from somebody in so long. It's just
Well, and you're very good at keeping in touch, actually. So I'm not as good. Again, this goes back to my own familial sort of patterns that I grew up with. But, you know, they were not, like, terribly good at it, and still are not, you know. So I don't think about it much because, you know, I think a lot of people, if you have family who contact you, who are like always, you know, some people are going, oh my God, my family doesn't stop contacting me. How can I get them to stop contacting me? How can I have this dream come true for me? All I can say is it's not fun to be orphaned by the living, and I'll just put it that way, you know, in sort of a succinct way. But, you know, so I'm not like connected, you know, I don't have like that kind of connection. So Jim is very good, as many of you know out there. Jim is very, very good at just keeping in touch. So if kind of too much time has gone by, like as you said, Jim, it's not like, hey, where have you been? It's like, how are you? You know, or hey, had a thought the other day. or, you know, Bella will be selling like Girl Scout cookies or something, you know. So like, I feel like this is how I am with my family. You know what I mean? It's just, we just are connected. It's a soul connection, whatever. Spiritualists want to call it. It doesn't matter. We vibe. We're part of the same tribe, and we're very happy to be like in that space. And it's just awesome. I'm always happy to be on the show, and I really haven't done anything like this in quite a while. I'm trying to like stay out of the limelight of stalkers, etc. Stay out of the view and reach of those people. But yeah,
on one hand, I'm happy that you're on the other hand, of course, I'm happy you're on. But of course, I understand why you're not doing too much, and that makes me happy, because that kind of, you know, some people, not you indirectly, but there are people out there who are overexposed, and they, you know, when they do an interview, nobody listens to them because they've heard them the last 6 weeks on every other show,
yeah. Yes, I think that I was that way for a bit during that like Comic-Con tour thing, but I'm so glad that's over, honestly, but I do keep talking about it, so maybe I'm not as glad as I think I am. I just feel like, you know, I think that that's part of what we were talking about earlier. It's connected to that personality disorder, that dark triad, that's like selfie culture. There's a lot of, you know, sort of self-focus, and everybody seems to have a podcast these days, not a show like yours. Yours is like beyond. Yours is so well-honed, so professional, and we're just lucky to have you, honestly. You've had like some huge, huge guests on this show, so I'm so honored, actually, to be on it.
Well, you know, it's that fine line, right? Because you got to take those big ones when you get them, but you got to remember who got you there in the first place. So keep that track of that. So figure that out.
Yeah, but you've had like Jesse Ventura. You had like big, big, big guests on there. I mean, that's a little political, I guess. But no, why are we on time, Jim? Because I'm like,
you've got like 5 minutes left, and I've got some rapid fire things that they want me to Well, you know how they like to throw random things at me, so I'm going to throw them at you.
Yeah, I love it.
You ready for this?
Mm.
Turducken for Thanksgiving, yes or no?
No.
No? Oh, somebody in the chat room just crushed. I think he just left. No.
That's a big no. Sorry. No. I don't care if you leave. No, okay. It can't happen. Okay. It's wrong. Go ahead.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry. Oh.
Oh, no, I love Dave. I want to crush Dave. No.
Okay, so I can't remember. I must have been Cat War 2 asked this earlier when it was we were talking about getting dark, and I kind of just scribbled it down because it wasn't the time or place. But you mentioned it getting dark earlier, and the topic of comfort food came up.
Hmm.
What's yours?
Oh, God. I have to think about that. Sorry. Oh, my God, I just swore again. Okay, well, that's the least of our worries tonight. My comfort food at the moment, and don't, like, laugh at this, everybody, but I know you're going to laugh. That's why I'm saying, is quinoa. Don't laugh at me, but honestly, I am, like, freaking loving my quinoa. I'm throwing fruit in there. I'm throwing veggie sausage in there. I'm putting a little honey, a little cinnamon. I'm just mixing it up with some quinoa, and it is my comfort food.
I was going to say, she's putting everything else in there so she doesn't...
It's like the green juice, man. I'm, like, drinking kale now. I'm putting pears in there. I'm like, you know, there's parsley, there's celery, there's a little bit of cucumber, but, you know, I got to get some pear because it's like, oh.
Anything to avoid the actual juice.
Oh, yeah, but healthy is really important right now, you know. Everybody should eat and drink things that keep down the inflammation and detox the liver. So important.
Well, speaking of detoxing the liver, they want me to ask you what your favorite drink is.
Oh, damn. You know, I've been really pretty dry. I've been pretty dry for like almost 2 years now. It's so sad, but as many people know, if they've been listening to the show or they've been following me, I am, you know, Irish American. I had an Irish grandmother. I had other, you know, I'm like a big melting pot, but that's one of the things that I've been able to explore is that side of my family. And so going to Ireland is something I worked there. I would go there, like spend a couple of months there every year. And so, you know, I really like whiskey, and I was also a huge fan of tequila, so that's very bad for you. It's so delicious.
So as you wake up from your blackout, your favorite retro breakfast cereal.
Okay, that has to be Lucky Charms. You know, I can say that one right away. I haven't had breakfast cereal in literally almost 2 years, but it's so sad to say that. I miss cereal. But it's better. It's better because I'm trying to eat like completely clean if I can.
So okay,
it's not here, going well.
I was gonna say, how's that going? Germantown Runner pops this one up here. Actually, he's popped up a bunch of them, but I have to give him credit for this one because I would have never thought to ask you this question. So that's why he's getting the credit for this. Soft boiled or hard boiled egg?
Neither. I don't eat eggs. I'm vegetarian and vegan.
Ooh.
I don't eat eggs at all. Yeah, so neither. Sorry.
Bad pun. Let's try this next one on for size. Dolly Parton, National Treasure, yes or no?
Oh, Dave, I know this is new, Dave. Oh, Dave, Dolly Parton just has like a whole new line with William Sonoma. Please go check that out. I literally thought of you today, Dave, because I saw that. Dolly Parton is a national treasure. And, Dave, because you and I talked about it so often, actually, back in the day on Twitter, I looked at the William Sonoma like collaboration, and I was like, Dolly Parton is a national treasure. Literally every time somebody says, what do you think of Dolly Parton? I'm like, she's a national treasure. It's like, you hypnotize me. I can't keep repeating. I love it. Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes. Dolly Parton. Oh, God. I love her so much. Oh, she's so good. Okay. Thank you.
Back to me. Actually, back to, we're out of time. We've got 10 seconds left, aww, so I can't appreciate you enough tonight for joining me and staying up late past your bedtime and all that other stuff.
Oh, I know. I had 3.5 hours.
Oh, well.
I know, because I'm doing a class at UCLA right now. It's one of the things I'm constantly schooling. So RebeccaHousel.com, thank you, Jim, so much. I really appreciate you. And
thank you for listening to this episode of the Mountain Report. Stay tuned for details on saving money at the Duck Pond Shop. I hope you enjoyed this report.
I'm so grateful that you had me on.
Please subscribe so that you can join us again.
Please give my love to everybody in the family.
I will. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
A reminder, the views and opinions of the show are those of the host and guests and do not represent any sponsors, affiliates, or any other partners of the Mallard Report. Now for your money-saving tip. Promo code Mallard at checkout of duckpondshop.com, where you can get your t-shirt, coffee mug, and other great products. That's promo code Mallard at checkout, duckpondshop.com. Until next week, stay safe and keep whacking.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.